We're going to be talking this morning about money and the fear of the Lord. We're going to try to explain the fear of the Lord and encourage you in the fear of the Lord. But and then we're going to find out how we will think about money if we are properly fearing the Lord. Let me ask you to bow in silent prayer and just ask the Lord to make this message something special to your heart. Money and the fear of the Lord. Let me share with you Ecclesiastes 12:13, the end of the book. It says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." We get a sense of how important God thought the idea of fearing God is. So the fear of God is so important in worship. According to the Word of God, it is sometimes used as a synonym for worshiping God. Fearing God is worshiping God. A worshiper of God is often described as one that fears him. Let me give you the example of Psalm 2:11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Serve the Lord with fear and trembling. So this is how we serve the Lord. Now let me just say, fearing God orients our heart. It positions us to see things in a right way, positions our heart toward proper attitudes about our money. Let's explore four areas of fearing God. Now, the first one, we're trying to get into a mindset of what does it mean to fear God. Fear is kind of a tricky thing in the Bible. If you remember, leading the list of those who end up going to hell are the fearful and unbelieving. And so how is it that fearing is part of worshiping God? So let's get our mind around that. Let's look then at the relationship of fearing God, understanding fear as a relationship rather than having a dread or a fear or that type of thing. It is the relationship. As I studied the fear of God, I began with the idea of fearing a strict master, some slave labor guy who you don't dare not do it or you get beat, you see. But when I saw the benefits that he promises those who fear him, I realized this is a different kind of fear. God's law described the child's relationship to his parents as fear. So that's not a horrible dread of your parents. Leviticus 19:3, "Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." I am Jehovah your God. So children, then, are compared to them that fear God. When we're fearing God as a child fears the parents. Psalm 103:13, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." So he's not so fearful. He is like a father pitying, having pity upon his children. And he pities those of us who fear him, who are in worship relationship. The Jewish rabbis have interpreted Leviticus 19:3, "You shall fear every man his mother and his father," to mean showing deep respect and reverence for one's parents. This is they who studied the Hebrew of this very, very carefully said that's what it was all about. The word fear in this context is understood as awe and reverence, that sense of respect. It involves acknowledging the authority of the parents, the wisdom of the parents, and the sacrifices that they've made as parents. So the commandment to honor one's parents is actually fundamental to the ethics and family structure. God commanded this, fear mother and father, so that it established the way a family should work. A family, God-fearing family, is not ruled by vote, where the kids get to say what they eat and all this kind of stuff, see? It is run by the parents. The parents then, with the pitying attitude for the children, knowing that sometimes things are hard, the parents caring for them tell them what is best. So this shows us the obligation to those who have given them life and cared for them. This respect is not merely emotional, but is expressed through actions, how you live, such as listening to parents, caring for them in their old age, and honoring their wishes, honoring the parents' wishes. So overall, this verse is seen as a cornerstone of familial, of family harmony, and societal stability in Jewish teachings. Here is the holding up of the family as vitally important. It emphasizes the importance of family bonds and the value of showing deep respect and gratitude toward one's parents. It was older times when an older person, an elderly person, entered a room. The young people would stand out of respect. We don't see that anymore. In fact, we see older people saying, "Oh, sit down. Don't make me feel old." We've lost that concept. So I'm saying to you then, concerning this fear of the Lord, spend your life living in the loving, respectful fear of your Heavenly Father. As a good child recognizes what parents have done for them, how they provide for them, a good child then will obey. I don't necessarily want to, but I'm going to do it because my parents said do it, you see. 1 Peter 1:17, he says, "If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." This is that fearful relationship that, and I've taken it to mean in my own life, the fear of disappointing him. That he is worth hearing. He is wise beyond our ability to even comprehend. And so we want to serve him and not disappoint him. So we realize that our Heavenly Father is not the ignorant father of the sitcoms. I grew up with Father Knows Best as one of the TV shows. Can you even imagine that as a TV show today? Today, the dad is the dummy and mom is brilliant. Of the impotent father who screams for obedience but cannot enforce it, just nothing guy. That's not who he is. Or even the abusive father of the world, where supposed to be reality shows or dramas built on truth. You hate the father because he was so mean. But we have an omniscient father, all-knowing. He also has all power and yet loves us. And this is the one that is owed our fearing, respectful relationship. Listen to Luke 12:32. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Here is a king who is looking for the opportunity to give you the inheritance of that kingdom. So we're not looking for, we do not need a cringing fear of our Father, unless we fail to enter into a father-son relationship with him. He is one whose will be done. And if you reject him You're not a child of God. You have not received Christ as Savior. Then you cannot expect the love of a father. You cannot expect the pitying attitude of a father. Matthew 10:28. If you don't know him, fear him. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And so he has the absolute authority. And in the end, his will be done. In the end, you will bow before him. But not in salvation. But rather in respect to his ability to do whatever he wants. And that will be just before you're cast into the lake of fire that burns forever with fire and brimstone. So you may withhold your worship now, but at that time, before the judgment falls, you will bow. Let me then build this up by giving you 9 spiritual blessings our Father promises us. How does he care for you? Notice, first of all, God will take pleasure in you. Psalm 147:11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. If you have that respectful relationship, then God takes pleasure in you, in those that hope in his mercy. Secondly, God will accept you. You are well beloved. Acts 10:34-35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God is not impressed by your rank. God is not impressed by your ability to deal with money. But in every nation, he that fears God and worketh righteousness, is accepted with him. When you enter into that relationship, you are accepted. God accepts no one except through the family relationship of salvation. And this is delivered to us in Ephesians 1:5-6. Having predestinated us, those who trust in Jesus, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in the work of Christ, in God's beloved Son who died for us, he has made us accepted as well. Third, God will treat you as tender children. Tender, just little children, just soft children, tender children. Psalm 103:13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the father pitieth them that fear him. Fourth, God will watch over you in mercy. Psalm 33:18, behold, the eye of the Lord is open, is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. God is watching you. God is seeing what you need, and God is showing mercy. Hoping in his mercy is an Old Testament way of saying trusting in his salvation, trusting God to be kind to you. Fifth, God gives you good return for your efforts. You put in the effort here, seems like we get no reward, but our reward isn't here. Our reward is later. Gives you good return. Psalm 111:5, he that hath given meat or prey unto them that fear him, he will ever be mindful of his covenant. He that has given you food to meet your needs, God will never remove his promise, his covenant. The sixth blessing, God gives you fatherly counsel. Time when you need to sit down and say, I don't know where to go from here. How will you help? How can I help? God says. Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. What is this idea of secret? One of the great scholars, J.A. Alexander, said the word translated secret means originally a company of persons sitting together, and then it meant familiar, talking about family, conversation. Then it came to mean confidential intercourse, the old word meaning exchange of conversation, intimacy, friendship, than a confidence or secret. So he's saying this is the family council time where you get to hear the wisdom of the elders. The seventh blessing is that God remembers you. He doesn't forget you. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. The Lord paid attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. You respond in a fear relationship, and God pays attention to you. He remembers you. My mother would show me from time to time as I was growing up, my mother kept a scrapbook of me. It was all about me. I was the hero of the story. And had a lock of my hair. It's very valuable to me now. But the idea is that what it showed me was, because, you know, I had no bowling trophies to offer her or anything, I was precious to her. And the things I did, the words I spoke, the grades I made in grade school, they were important to her. So God keeps his book of remembrance. Why? Because as his child, you are precious to him. The eighth blessing, God gives you light for your path. Have you been in that situation where you're just in the darkness? And, you know, that's when you bang your shin against something, stub your toe against something. You think your foot is going to fall right off. But he gives light to your path. Here he says, Isaiah 50, verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, has that relationship, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, the messengers that God sends to talk to us, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? He says, if you're paying attention to God, is there one of you that doesn't have the light of God to walk on your path? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay focused upon his God. Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son, S-U-N, Son of righteousness, arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, which means tended and cared for, fed. The ninth and last that we'll look at is that God saves up goodness for you. He saves it up. He's waiting for you to give it to you. Psalm 31:19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. This is what heaven is like. We often talk about the pearly gates and the golden streets and all these things, but it's not going to be about the stuff when we get there. It's going to be about our relationship with him and all of the good that he has stored up in his love he hands to us. Laid up for them, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Then let me move on to six earthly blessings that our Father promises us. As I was looking up this idea of the fear of God, I saw sometimes it was spiritual blessings, sometimes it's earthly blessings. God tells us that we do not need to wait until heaven to receive the blessing of entry into the family of God. When we get saved, we are children of God. We have our salvation. We don't end up having to go to heaven to find out whether we get saved or not. We can know here. Number one, you will have no lack of temporal goods, the goods of this life. Psalm 34:9 and 10. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want, no lack to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want, shall not suffer lack, any good thing. It's been my wife and I's experience turning our lives over to the Lord right out of college, and actually before college, part of that, but in the sense of not being under our parents, getting married, and being out on our own, just to trust him, get a job as we could, but our focus was serving the Lord, working in a church and so on. And when I came to Open Door Baptist Church, the deacons came and said, "We're not a big church. We don't have a lot of money. What do you require for a salary?" And I said, "I believe that if God calls me here, he will speak to and through the deacons that he will meet my family's needs with what you can do." And that was it. We had no demands. And God has been doing that ever since. It's an important thing to recognize that he has everything. And the meeting of our needs, sometimes it was gifts, sometimes it was a food shower, sometimes it was all these things that we weren't expecting. But God could provide and did. Then you will be satisfied. It's not just that he gives you enough to barely live on. You'll be satisfied. Proverbs 15:16. "Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." Sometime read the difficulties that the lottery winners have found. One woman won a little lottery, and she was dealing with divorcing her husband and getting custody of the children. And so he saw now she had money to fight him in court, so he had her killed. Happy lottery winner. True satisfaction comes with the inner relationship with God and not the prestige of worldly treasure and power. This is why you find over and over again, not every single one, but over and over again, these people who have lived and sacrificed to study acting and singing and all these things, and they finally make it big. And then we hear they killed themselves. Because this stuff doesn't satisfy. They were living, waiting for this great, wonderful thing to happen, that all of their problems, all of their goals of life would be centered in this thing. And then it happened, and they said, "That's it? That's all? This isn't satisfying." You will be satisfied. The third blessing, earthly blessing, you will have wealth and riches. Now, I can say that without any hesitation, because notice what the promise is. Psalm 112, 1 and then 3. "Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments," listening to what he says. And then verse 3 says, "Wealth and riches shall be in his house," but notice, "and his righteousness endureth forever." You see, it's not all about the here and now for us. You can see it refers to spiritual wealth of our life, to be the one who represents God is wealth enough here. But it's all we are willing to do without here, because this isn't the end of it all for us. It's the next life, and we're waiting for that. The fourth blessing is you will lead a simple, decent life. God's way is not very often really complicated. Look, come to me with me to Psalm 128, verses 1 to 4. "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." That's the proper father-child relationship. "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." That's a great promise. "The wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about my table." All those plants. "Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." You see, what is he describing here? Talking about the simple decent life. The fifth one is, you will live safely. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge, a place of protection. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Here, evil meaning tragedy and calamity. Following his fatherly advice keeps us away from the torments of the sinful world. When God was giving the Ten Commandments the second time, Deuteronomy chapter 5, giving the Ten Commandments, he speaks to Moses afterward. He says, oh, that there was a heart in them that they would obey my commandments. And then he explains why. That it might be well with them and with their children forever. See, God's laws are the things that tell us not to do the things that are bad for us, to stay away from the things that are bad for our family. See. And then number six, you'll have prolonged days. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth or addeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. We see this, people giving themselves over to sin. You can't tell me what to do, they say. And then it leads to disease and brokenness and a tragically scarred mind. Generally, walking in obedience to him gives us the best and longest life. So that was a long first point. But that tells us that this is worth something for us to check into. This fearing the Lord as a proper child. So let's look then specifically at the meaning of fearing God. So, there's two ways of looking at this. First of all, as we focus on God, we're focusing on God, it, fearing God, is a reverential and fatherly fear. Reverence and parental as fearing your father. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence. Now, the word there means the feeling of moral repugnance to doing a dishonorable act. Repugnance, I don't know, is that a word you use? But just to, it just horrifies you to do something that dishonors your father, see, dishonors God. And godly fear. This word means a caution, circumspection. Circumspection is where you're looking all about you as you're walking along, not dragging your clothing through the mud. Discretion, having discretion. So the idea here, if he is going to give us all of this, let us serve him acceptably, and that with reverence and godly fear. So even Christ had that fear of God. Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh, Christ's flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. He had that fear relationship with his father. And so he was heard. The second way of looking at this, meaning of fearing God, is as we focus on self. And that is, it is rejecting self-love. Reverence, godly fear, as we look to him. As we look at self, then, it's not about me. That's become a watch phrase with my wife and I. We start feeling upset, we start feeling grieved, and we'll say to one another, but it's not about us. It's not about me. As soon as you think it's about you, you get mad. How dare they do this to me? How dare they say something like that to me? How dare they? Don't they know who I am? See? Probably not. But it's not about us. It's about God and others. That's the rule, see? It's about God and others. So this fearing of God is a humble fear that distrusts self. You rely on self and you will let yourself down. It places trust alone in our Father. If you want to do something a certain way, but God says not to, do it His way, because it's going to really hurt you to do it your way. Romans 11:20, well, good. Because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. If you are standing properly in your relationship with God, don't get proud at that. Think, those people were less than we are because they didn't follow God, you see. Bad situation. Philippians 2:12-13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, when Paul was physically present with them, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. See, the thing is, it's not about you doing your best and coming up with your own ways. So this is the meaning, and I hope you have a sense of that, a feeling of that. The third thing of the four is I want to show you four ways to show your loving fear of God. How do we show that? Let's just be clear. Let me give you four ways. Point A, show your hatred of sin, but not the sinner. We're to love one another and try to help them out. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You know why God gave us the ability to hate? We're to hate sin. If you let your mind go back to Adam and Eve, who said, oh, this will be good for me to eat this fruit that God told me not to, I'll get to be like God. And He introduced sin into the universe. Death and despair and hatred all came. So let us turn this around and say, I want to be a careful hater of the things that are bad. A hater of sin. Let us hate it. Fear the Lord is to hate evil. And he lists them. Pride. Are you kind of bound with this thing of how great you are? Not that I will tell you how great I am, but you should know that, you see. That's pride. You should hate that. You should hate to hear it of others, and we usually do. Oh, he thinks he's something. She thinks she's something. But hate it in yourself. And arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth. The psalmist says, do I hate? Second is, show your loving fear of God. Refuse to offend your father. Maybe there's some sin that you just do. Maybe it feels good. Maybe it makes you feel something special. Hate it because it dishonors your father. It offends him. Proverbs 16:6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, is cleansed. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When you have that fear relationship with God, a loving respect for Him, why would you choose to do that which He hates? Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Real wisdom will depart from evil. Because it's bad for you, it's bad for your family, it's bad for the world. The third way to show your loving fear of God is care for others. Christ said there were two of the greatest commandments. One is to fear the Lord, or to love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And he said the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. It's all about God and others. So care for others. Leviticus 19:14, thou shalt not curse the deaf. You say, They won't know. They're deaf. So, you know, you just turn your head away from them and you go, rah, 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 rah. And he says, don't do that. Nor put a stumbling block before the blind. What kind of fun is that? Throw that over there. Boom, he falls down. He's blind. But instead, shall fear thy God. I am the Lord. He says you should care for them. Love your neighbor, even as yourself. And the fourth one is this. And here is our link to stewardship. Withhold nothing from God. This means if he asks it, you give it. God asked Abraham to give his son that he had waited for, that God had promised him. And he said, take him out as a lamb and kill him and burn the body unto me. And Abraham said, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm going to obey God. Genesis 22:12. God is speaking about this. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. What is so precious in this life that you would keep it for yourself and not give it if God asks? So we determine to love nothing in this life so much that we refuse to dedicate it or lose it to God. If you think back in the book of Acts, how opposite it was for the case of Ananias and Sapphira, who said, yeah, we love God, we love the people of the church, we're going to sell our property and pretend to give it all. But what we're really going to do is keep part of it for ourselves. And then we'll get all the praise for being such gracious people, giving all that money. And God says, who do you think you're trying to fool? The all-knowing God? You've lied to the Holy Spirit. So we find that from time to time, God will take a precious loved one. And if we turn against God at that, we do not understand him. We do not understand that if they're a Christian, they're with God and it's much better. It's not about you. The last thing I want to share with you is this. How do we develop the fear of God? What should we be doing to develop this? Well, submit to God's desire for a family relationship with you. He wants to be our father. A father then tells us what to do and disciplines us if we don't. And we need to say, that's okay with me. Psalm 36:1, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. Why do you turn to the wrong thing? Because you don't fear God. You don't respect him as a father. Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. The fear of God will cause you to obey. Secondly, receive it from God. This is what we must do. Receive Christ as Savior. It may be that you like the idea of coming to church and hearing good counsel and having loved ones share that concern for you. But you're not fearing God if you've not received Christ as Savior. Jeremiah 32:40, listen to this. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. This is what happens when we enter into the family relationship. we learn about him, we learn of his power, his authority, and his kindness, and we say, I fear this being, this one who is my Father. Receive Christ as Savior, and then learn God's word, Deuteronomy 4:10. Listen to how he schooled Israel. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb. Horeb is Mount Sinai, where he received the law. When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words. The people heard God speaking at that mountain, and it scared them to death, that they may learn to fear me. And it did. They said, no, we don't want to do that anymore. We're going to stay over here in our campsite, and Moses, you go talk to him. We're too scared to hear that. That they may learn to fear me all the days that they will live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. This is something worth sharing and teaching, you see. Deuteronomy, verse 17, 19, and it shall be with him that he shall read therein all the days of his life, read in the word of God, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Spend time in the word of God and ask concerning that reading, God, what are you asking me to do? That will be the best for me. That will be best for my family, best for my business. It'll be best for everything if I obey it. And I need to know, I need to understand what you want to say. The third and last thing is this. Deeply meditate on the word of God. This means really think it through. Proverbs 2, 3 to 5. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge. It's not like, well, I don't mind learning it. No, what you should be doing is crying after the knowledge. I don't want to be stupid about my life. I don't want to be ignorant about the things that are most important. I cry after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and people, are they after money? People are seeking this? Oh, yes. And searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. He's the one who gives you the true knowledge, you see, and find knowledge of God. And let me close with 2 Corinthians 3:18. The apostle is talking here about the contrast when the Jews said, Moses, we got a problem. When you come down from the mount having talked to God, your face is glowing. You are shining. You look like a nightlight. Or what a nightlight will look like when we invent those things. You're too scary. No offense, but please put a bag on your head. Cover it up. We don't want to see that face. He said, okay. But he said, by contrast, you Christians, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. That's what they didn't like, have his face shining with the glory of the Lord. He says, but we get to see that as if in a mirror. And when we see that, when we look through the scripture and find Jesus there, and we ask, what is Jesus in this passage of scripture? We see his glory. He says, we are changed into the same image. We become godlike. We become Christlike. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's a magical thing. We are changed into Christlikeness as we meditate, as we think deeply on what he says in the Word. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, you've given us an opportunity to think through the fearing of the Lord. And Father, if we truly fear you, then money is going to take a different place in our life. money is not going to be the answer to everything. Obedience to you will be the answer to everything. And sometimes that will mean to give of our goods, to give of our money, to give of our time, to give of our unending effort. But Father, I pray that you might help us to see that this will not be a problem if we learn that relationship, fear of you as our Father, to recognize that your commandments are good for us, not bad for us and just good for you. Help us to see then, Father, that you are wise beyond our ability to judge, and we will do first what you say and only then find out why it's so wise. We want that wisdom. We want to cry after knowledge and truly lift up our voice crying after wisdom. We pray that you might help us to find it by obedience, and then in obedience find there is no sacrifice too great for us, that we will love you above all things that we get in this life. With heads bowed, eyes closed, it may be you're saying, Pastor, I don't believe that I really have exercised that fear of the Lord. I don't think I've seen Christ, God, as my Father, and that to disobey him is not just disobedience. It's stupidity on my part, because I'm choosing to do that which is wrong for me, bad for everybody around me. I want to listen carefully to what he says and learn his wisdom in this. I want to make sure that I'm not loving self or things more than him, because I don't want anything between God and me. I want to show him as my Father that I love him and obey him. If that's your prayer, if that's your concern, would you slip your hand up, say, pray with me. Help me to grow in this thing, to understand this truth, and to learn to fear the Lord with all the blessings that come. Pray for me. Father, then we thank you for this time together. May we understand that your way is the best way. As the world thinks about the highway, it is the path above crime and problem. It is your way that keeps us safe. And so we thank you that your way is actually the highway. I pray that you would bless us as we seek to put into effect the message of today, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.